T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, it's the Stone Man hanging out with you this afternoon. And you know, when we always go back to the 80s, and one of my favorite time of the 80s, well, if we can remember them, and thank God we don't have cell phones back then. But you know, you go back to some of the greatest rock bands of the 80s, and Dokken has to be one of mine. And Dokken, you don't hear too much from more of them anymore, but I tell you, Don Dokken is still rocking, and he dug up some old classics, and I got him on the phone. Don, how are you, buddy?
Doing good, JD. How are you?
Dude, I'm just, going through the COVID-19 phase and a little bit different from the 80s.
Yeah, it's been an apocalyptic year for a lot of things going on right now and this year.
So how you been doing? Are you still, I just found this out. I had no idea that you were born and raised around Truckee.
Yep. Truckee High School, go Wolverines.
And my dad lives over the hill, just down the road in Reno, and I love that place. And, of course, David Coverdale, another great 80s lead singer, as you, lives over in Incline Village. And you've got some great stories, which we'll touch on here in just a little bit, from that part of California. But tell me something about this new album you got coming out. It's kind of a digging up from the lost songs of the past.
Yeah, it was an accident.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't know I had them. And these songs were recorded several years before the known lineup of Lynch, Pilsen, and Brown and me. And these were stuff I did in my early 20s. And I would sneak in the studios late at night. And they would let me record, you know, on what, as we call it, the DL. You know?
Yeah.
So... you know, over the years, I recorded in this studio and that studio. And then I went to Germany in 1979, did a tour, met Michael Wagner. He had a studio. We'd play at the show to 1, 2 in the morning and go into his studios and bang out some demos. So, but they all went MIA, and I just assumed they were lost to time. And I don't know. And it was just an act of God. That, you know, the COVID thing's coming, nobody's working, touring. I had time on my hands. I decided to clean out the garage. You know, it was packed like everybody's garages.
Right.
And I bought a car, old 64 Stingray convertible.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I needed to put it in the garage. I couldn't sit outside because, you know, I live up in the canyons, a lot of trees and, you know, birds and sap.
Yeah.
So I cleaned the garage out, and lo and behold, I found this big tub and opened it up, and I saw these old 2-inch reels of tape, which was a little shocking because I haven't recorded on tape in 25 years.
Yeah.
It's all digital, you know. So I just said, what the hell? Got time in my hands. So you bake them, you know, you put them in a convection oven and you cook them because they won't play after all those years unless you cook them and get the goop off of them. Took them in the studio, put them up, and there they were. All these stuff I had done, you know, some in 1978, some in 1979, a couple in 1980, you know, when I was just making demos.
Were you amazed by the sound of them when you actually put them on the reel-to-reel?
Reel-to-reel? The sound was primitive, you know? I mean, a couple of the songs just had a drum machine.
Yeah.
And that sounded like crap. So I had DJ put real drums in a couple of songs. And there was a couple solos missing. So I had John Levin put a couple solos on them. was mostly just me singing, playing guitar with a drum machine, and playing the bass, and I have some solos on there too that I did. But I just tried to bring them, you know, up to standards, you know, make them more hi-fi.
Yeah.
So we mix them and make them sound more modern. I mean, the 70s were the 70s, man. I mean, you know, we didn't have all the toys and all the stuff to make albums sound, you know, over the top.
Yeah, Lost Songs of 1978 to 1981. And the Step Into the Light, tell me about this song, because when I first heard this song, it kind of had a Just Got Lucky Dokken feel.
Yeah, I guess that's just my style of writing. You know, you can definitely tell when you hear these songs that I wrote them because it's my style.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their style. You know, Ozzy's got his style. AC/DC has their style. You know, David Coverdale has his style. Everybody has a style. And then again, I remember in the 80s, that's what was my disappointment, was a lot of bands started breaking out of L.A. And to me, they all sound the same. You know, I couldn't tell one band from the other band. You know, it was just kind of generic. And I think that was one of the reasons the hard rock music kind of went down.
I couldn't see the sadness hiding in your eyes. I couldn't see the pain behind my eyes. I tried to give you love, you pushed me away. Far behind us, and all I
great tune, Step Into the Light, from the forthcoming release, Lost Songs, 1978 to 1981. And, of course, the following after that, the unbelievable sounds of Doc and you and George Lynch, legendary duo. And I've seen you guys back in the 80s in concert quite a few times. And you two were just like brothers, right?
On stage, yeah.
your fights were legendary, kind of like the Police.
Yeah, we definitely had some, little disagreements here and there.
But I think that's what made Dokken the way it was, because throughout all of the albums and still today, the request of, all of the tunes that you guys put out, for us, especially in the 80s that enjoyed that music and still enjoy that music today, and kind of the resurgence of the 80s, especially with our radio station, Classic Rock 101.1, we do a lot of 80s music, so there's still a passion for that type of music, and that's why I think this new CD or this new release that you've got, The Lost Songs, 1978 to 81, are going to be somewhat riveting to people.
Yeah, it's a window into my early days when I was in my early 20s, and just kind of shows you, how I started and where my head was at, during the 70s. And I have noticed that there's a whole new generation of rock fans coming to see Dokken. We're playing bigger and bigger venues, and I see people in the audience that were probably 8 years old,
yeah,
in the 80s. So I'm like, wow. And I see them singing every lyric. That they know all the songs, they're singing Into the Fire, they're singing The Hunter, and it kind of throws me back when I'm on stage going like, how do they know these songs? These guys, they all look a little young for this. But it's like a new generation of fans getting turned on to rock and roll again, like hard rock.
Talking with Don Dokken of the legendary band Dokken, I remember seeing you, this was the original Monsters of Rock tour, and I can't remember the year, but my cousin from England was over, and we took him to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. It was you and Van Halen and a few other bands, and it just blew everybody away. And that was one hell of a loud show.
It was loud. That was 1988. It was Kingdom Come, then Metallica, then Dokken, then Scorpions, and then Van Halen. That was the lineup.
Yeah, and that was one hell of a gig, man. And you guys did pretty well. You did a world tour with that, but that's one hell of a lineup. And especially with Metallica as kind of a young band then, and see them what they become today. And of course, Van Halen, and of course, all of the drama that's gone on with that band. It was when I was chatting with my cousin Alex the other day. He now lives in Ireland in Cork. That's one of his favorite sets, was you guys playing some kick-ass music.
Yeah, we had a good slot, except it was really hot out.
Oh, it was hot as hell.
It was like roasting. I remember that. And it was good. And that was right. Yeah, you said it was right before, a couple years before Metallica did the Black Album that put them over the top, at 100 million records. And, it was a great tour. And plus, we all knew each other. I remember talking to, on that tour, at Eddie Van Halen, a couple of times we'd be hanging out late at night in the hotel and bored and sitting in the hallway because we couldn't sleep, and say, how weird that, I used to play with Van Halen, Doc and Van Halen. We used to play the Whiskey A Go-Go in 76, 77. And I said, back then, and now here we are playing stadiums. It's interesting.
Talking with Don Dokken of the legendary band Dokken, and also his new release coming out on the 28th. You can do pre-orders right now, and the great song that you heard earlier on, Step Into the Light. Lost Songs from 1978 to 1981, Don Dokken when he was a young little Dokken. But before that, growing up around Truckee, California, you had an odd job with old Blue Eyes, from what I understand. Is that true?
Oh, Frank, yeah, I mean,
what the hell did you do for Frank Sinatra, for God's sakes?
Well, he built a casino in a place called Crystal Bay.
A legendary beach.
Yes, and Crystal Bay is exactly 1 mile from where I live with my mom.
Yeah.
And that was the California side.
That's a hell of a place to grow up, too.
Yeah, it was, I was like being Opie. In the wintertime, we'd all slog it down to this place called the Pantry, and They had pinball machines and pool tables, and that's where we spent our winters.
Yeah.
You know, so my mom worked at the Cal Neva. That was the name of his club.
Yeah.
And she worked in, like, the VIP in the back where all the everybody from, God, Dean Martin to Don Rickles to George Bishop, you know, they'd all go and, you know, play at Frank's Casino. And so my mom, I think they gave her the gig because she was really cute.
I heard your mom was pretty hot in those days.
Yeah, I had to keep my friends from high school away from her. Before my house, they said, don't even think about it. It's my mom. So, yeah, she was pretty hot. She was pretty hot looking. So she worked in the, like, the executive in the back, you know, bringing their dinners and cocktails and all these famous people, and Frank Sinatra, all these people. And but I used to go up there and kind of like sneak in the back and kind of hang out with her, you know?
Yeah.
And so I got to meet a lot of these people, but it didn't mean that much to me at like, 14 years old.
No, it was normal for you.
No, I don't know. I didn't know who Don Rickles was or Joey Bishop or, you know, all these people. And Frank was kind of famous for he would say he's going to be playing at his club, and he'd be a no-show.
Yeah.
The last minute. So he'd call up Don Rickles, or he'd call up Dean Martin, or he'd call somebody to come up and, you know, and fill in for him. So, yeah, I got to meet all those people. I remember they would one time, I can't remember who it was, they were all sitting around, and they gave me a $5 tip, and Don Rickles goes, Jesus, man, what a cheapskate. Give the kid a 20, for God's sakes. And I'm like, give him 20 bucks, man. You give him $5? Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Oh, man, those days back then in Lake Tahoe, and of course, if no one's ever been to Lake Tahoe, you got to go at least once, because that is one place. One, the water is so pristine and gorgeous, but two, it's just the history, like you just said, of the Rat Pack and all of the crazy days back in the 60s and the early 70s that make that part of California, Nevada, was an unbelievable place.
Yeah, I mean, the other side of the lake, you know, the South Shore, it's like a little mini Vegas where all the big casinos are.
Yeah.
But there was only four little casinos on the North Shore, and that was Cal Neva, I can't remember the names of them, Crystal Bay Lodge. There was only this little one-block strip that the government allowed people to build casinos, and it was right by my house. And I remember I got a great job in the summer. Frank Sinatra had this really bitchin' house in Incline Village. And Incline Village, you know, is like the Bel Air.
Gorgeous.
It's the Bel Air of Lake Tahoe. I mean, every home on the water, mansions, huge, you know, beautiful. It's beautiful trees. And somebody hired me and two of my friends. I guess Frank was going to have a party. And I can't swear to it, but I remember that's where... Well, everybody knows now the legend that, you know, that Kennedy was going up there and Marilyn Monroe, and they would, you know, have their little trysts up at Frank's place.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, they bring in Marilyn Monroe in a private plane and John F. Kennedy, and they'd hang out at Frank's, you know, big-ass house in Incline Village. So he was going to have some kind of thing like that to do, but he had this dock with a couple boats, speedboats. And the you know, the water's so clear you can see all the way down.
Indeed.
And you look down and at the bottom of the dock, it was just covered with whiskey bottles, beer bottles, vodka bottles.
Oh geez.
I was like, damn. It was like 20 years of partying, you know? but when you walk down to the dock, you look in the water and you could just see booze bottles.
Oh Jesus.
It was kind of hilarious. So Sinatra's staff hired me and a couple of my friends, and they said, we need you to go down and dive down there and get all those bottles out of there.
And that water's cold as hell.
Oh, man. It's like jumping into an ice cube.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I got used to it. Living up there for several years, I'd go water skiing and stuff. And once I got up, I was fine. But you didn't want to fall, you know, too soon, because when you hit that water, it was freezing freaking cold.
Yeah, me and my wife, we spent some time up there and enjoyed a day on down at the beach there, where you're talking about. And it was just beautiful, and how beautiful the water. But boy, it was definitely a shrinker.
Oh yeah, you walk up to your ankles, you're like, okay, I think I'm done. I think I'm not going to go for a swim because it's just one big giant melted glacier. So, but I made a lot of money that summer. I remember that's how I bought my guitar. So for every bottle we got, we brought up, I think we got $2 or something.
Yeah.
And the joke was, you know, I only weighed about 145 pounds then.
Yeah.
And I was really having a hard time. It was only about 8 feet deep or 10, but I couldn't get myself to get to the bottom. I was just too skinny. So I would put rocks in my pockets in my bathing suit and the rocks. And then I'd hold a bag of rocks, I learned. And then I'd float to the bottom and grab a bunch of bottles, yeah, and then take the rocks out of my pockets and come back up.
Oh, my God. Well, that's the way to do it, especially out there, and you're working for Frank Sinatra. But Frank Sinatra kind of, indirectly is responsible for your first guitar?
Yeah, the money I made, we only worked there for about 2 weekends. And then that's how I went. My mom took me to Reno to a Hawk shop, and I bought my first real guitar.
Yeah.
What I call it was a Fender Mustang. Before that, I had a Silvertone, which was made by Sears.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it was called a Silvertone. I had an amp and a guitar. It wasn't bad for being a Sears guitar. It just, you know, didn't stay in tune very well, but it was better than nothing. And so I got my first Fender guitar, and thank you, Frank.
That's, dude, that is one hell of a story, and I know you got to run because we're just the start of your cavalcade of interviews today. But the new CD coming out, Lost Songs, 1978-1981, you can hit up Don's Facebook page. You can hit him up on Dokken.net. The Facebook is Dokken Official, YouTube as well, Dokken Official. And good luck with this thing, man. When I got to hear that tune, it was kind of like jumping back into the early days of some killer classic rock. And again, great thanks for the great stories. And do you still stay in touch with anybody back from the Dokken band days?
Oh yeah, you know, I mean, we were playing with Lynch. We did 3 shows with Lynch Mob, Lita Ford, and us.
Oh hell yeah!
And George would come on stage at the end of the show and do 3 or 4 songs with us. So it's all good now. You know, we're too old to argue.
Right.
So George was on tour with us, and we were playing together with Lynch Mob until the shit hit the fan with this whole COVID thing.
Right.
And between all the protests and the rioting and election coming up, it's been like an apocalyptic year. I mean, it's just what we really do need is music, concerts.
Yeah. Yeah.
People to get away from all this madness, you know, that's going on. And unfortunately, you know, it's not happening. But I am doing a show this weekend, and I'm doing 1 show in September. I'm doing a show in October, and then I'm going to come home and finish up the new studio album.
Oh, dude, I tell you, if I could jump on a plane this weekend, I'd come out and see you play, because it'd be a one hell of a deal. And I tell you, there's 11 tunes on this new CD. More information, again, hit up Don's social media touch points, and you can find out so much more about this. And the cover art alone is interesting because it was done by Tokyo Hirito, or Hero, Motorhead, yeah. Motley Crue, famous artist for album art.
Famous artist. And he took our Phoenix and kind of put his own spin on it. So we got a famous artist for the album cover. It's a cool, it'd make a great tattoo.
Yeah, indeed.
So, yeah.
Well, dude, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate the great stories. And Don Dokken, it was, for me, it was damn cool to chat with you because, you know, growing up with your music back in the 80s, for me, well, hell, I'm 56 years old. So not really growing up. I was just, I guess, learning my own manhood back then.
Yeah, I think we all were.
Take care, pal, and hope to see you soon.
You too, man. Stay safe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.